Well, just before I begin the message today, I just want to just highlight a couple things here. First off, Larry Miro is not here, but it's his birthday apparently. He's 37 years old. Just kidding. If you know who he is, that's not the truth. But when you see him next, just wish him. Make sure you wish him a happy birthday. Well, we are continuing on the Psalms here. We're doing a 2-week series in the Psalms. Last week was Psalm 91, and this week is Psalm 103. And again, of course, it's another beautiful psalm in the book of Psalms. And as you read through this psalm, you may notice that the lyrics from some of our worship songs come from this psalm. And I could think of a few songs that come to mind as I read through this. And you, as you're reading through this, you might recall some hymns or some other worship songs or whatever, some of your favorite songs that come directly from this psalm. In this psalm, Psalm 103, some of the themes include praise to God, God's forgiveness, God's love, God's reign, and his salvation. So let me open up in a word of prayer before we jump into scripture today. Lord, thank you once again for your word. Thank you for the Psalms. Thank you for Psalm 103 in particular. And as we reflect on this psalm, Lord, help us to be reminded of how good and how great of a God you truly are. Help our hearts to be full of praise. Lord, if there's someone here who has not experienced your goodness, have not made a decision to follow you, Lord, and experience your goodness and your salvation, I pray, Lord, that through your Spirit you would convict them, Lord, to consider following you with their whole heart. And I pray, Lord, that you would open up all of our hearts, Lord, to pursue you in a more deeper way this morning. And I just pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. So Psalm 103, if you brought your Bibles with you, if not, the screen, you'll see the words projected on the screen behind me. So we're going to start with the first two verses, and it says this. It says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me." Let me just read to you out of a different translation, the New American Standard Bible, and I want you to listen carefully. Do these words sound a little like the words we just sang just a few moments ago? "Bless the Lord, O my soul." This is the New American Standard Bible, by the way. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits." I was talking to my mom last night, actually. It was her birthday yesterday. And she said, "What are you preaching on tomorrow?" I said, "Psalm 103." And so she just starts reciting it. I think she just recited the first 7 verses or so from memory. I thought that was pretty cool. And I think she was reciting from the New King James Version, or maybe even the Old King James Version. But whatever version you use, it's they're all beautiful in their own way. But that kind of sounds like the song 10,000 Reasons that we just sang, isn't it? Now, what does it mean, the first phrase? What does it mean to praise God with our whole heart or our soul? Now, in the original language, the word for soul, the New American Standard Bible uses the word soul. The New Living Translation uses whole heart. Well, what does it mean to praise God with our whole heart or soul? Well, that word, nephesh, in the original language, has multiple meanings. It could mean soul or living being, life, self, person, desire, appetite, emotion, and passion. So in other words, I think the psalmist is saying that he will praise the Lord with everything that he is. He's holding nothing back with his entire being. You know, one of my favorite things as a pastor is baptizing people. I'm over the moon when someone says, "I want to get baptized." And one of the things I like to do when I'm in the baptismal tank with people, I like to ask them a series of questions. And they're very simple, straightforward questions. But one of the questions I ask is, if they're standing right beside me, and I'll say, "So-and-so, do you love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind?" And then I pause and I say, "Really, do you love the Lord with everything you are?" Because that's really what God asks of us, that we follow him and love him with everything, with our entire being. God is an all or nothing kind of God. You may recall Revelation 3:15, verse 16, it says this. It says, "I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." And when we come to the Lord, I hope we come with a willingness to worship him with our all. He doesn't like the in-between lukewarmness. The next phrase, let me just get a sip of water. The next phrase I just want to reflect on is the next phrase, may I never forget the good things that he does for me. I think this is a very significant phrase. If you've ever read the Old Testament, you would have read about the Israelites, how God saved the Israelites out of slavery from Egypt, and they were in slavery for 400 years, and through incredibly miraculous, spectacular events, he rescues the Israelites out of slavery from Egypt, and he frees them. And as the reader, you're like, wow, God is so great. The Israelites must have, they must know all the wonderful things that God has done for them. And I bet you they'll never worry or fret again. And so a year passes, a month passes, a day passes, and they face an obstacle. And what do? They worry and they fret and they complain and they criticize God. And the reader just wants to, myself, you just want to jump into the page and just kind of wring their necks and say, guys, are you crazy? Come on. The Lord just did so many miraculous things for you. He provided for you. And yet you're fretting the day after? Come on. But when you pause and consider, we do the exact same thing. And speaking for myself, I know God has provided for me in so many wonderful ways, but you know what? I forget the next day sometimes. I forget the next week. And when an obstacle comes up in my way, I go, oh my gosh, I start looking at the obstacle. And I forget how God has provided for me. So I think that's so important that we remember the good things that God has done for us. And in fact, God challenged the Israelites to remember the good things that he did for them. And as a result, they wrote those things down. They also have celebrations that force them to remember the miracles that God performed for them when they faced various obstacles. And, I think we need to think of ways. Maybe it's journaling. Maybe there's other ways that we need to think of to force ourselves to remind us of the good things that God has done for us. So what are some of the good things that God does for us? Well, let's continue in the psalm. Psalm 103, verse 3. And notice the very first thing that he says of the many things that he does for us is that, verse 3, he forgives all my sins. He forgives all my sins. And there is, like I said, there's a major theme in here in this psalm on forgiveness. And so we're going to come back to that. But notice this is the very first thing he references, the fact that God forgives our sins. So it must be one of the most important things that God does for us, surely. The other phrase, and heals all my diseases. Just in case you're wondering, that's still true today. The Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as God has miraculously healed people in the past, he still miraculously heals people today in our culture and our world. And for that, we should be extremely grateful for. And so if you have a disease, a sickness, a concern, an obstacle in your life, you need to bring that to God and put it in his hands. Verse 4 through 6. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. So this is why, verse 6 in particular, this is why we can have a sense of a calm, a resolve, patience under pressure. We just had a series with this idea that we're under pressure. This is why we can have resolve and patience under pressure, trials, and persecution. Because one day, we know that God's going to make right every wrong, whether in this life or the next. Let's move on to verse 7 and 8. It says, he revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. And then verse 8 might be, the favorite verse of this passage for most of us. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. I mean, that might be a verse that some of you, maybe it's your favorite verse. I bet you someone here, that might be your favorite verse. There's probably some of us who might have that verse on our walls somewhere or maybe on our computer screen. I don't know. But it's just a beautiful, beautiful verse. I think of that song, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love." That's another song that comes to mind. You may think of others. But anyways, there's one phrase I want to just talk about for a second. That's the phrase, "slow to get angry." Before I talk about the phrase, I want you to look to your neighbor and give them an angry face. Give them an angry face for a second. Yeah. But I just want to ask you, what do you notice about someone's face when they're angry? Someone shout it out. What do you notice about someone's face when they're angry? What happens to their face, their physical features? Their nostrils flare. She nailed it. If you were to literally translate the literal words to get slow to get angry, it would be that God has a long nose. So the Lord is compassionate and merciful. He's got a long nose, and he's filled with unfailing love. Most people, most cultures recognize that when someone gets angry, their nose gets red and flared and stuff, right? So let me just read to you Psalm 18, where it says, where God's nostrils are mentioned when he's speaking about his anger at injustice. It says this: "Smoke poured from his nostrils, fierce flames leaped from his mouth, glowing coals blazed forth from him." And so perhaps in that culture, this was a way to describe someone's temper. So if you have a short nose, well, you got a short temper. If you have a long nose, that means you are very patient. So if someone tells you that you have a long nose, just take it as a compliment. There you go. So the Lord is long-nosed. He's patient. And let me come back to this forgiveness theme. In verses 9 through 13, and again, I keep on using the word beautiful, but they are just absolutely beautiful verses. "He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west." As far as the east is from the west. Da, 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 da. "He has removed our transgressions from us." Yeah. "The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate." There's another song in my head. "Tender and compassionate to those who fear him." So again, there's this big forgiveness theme. And forgive me, my mouth is dry. So I just want to talk about a few phrases. First phrase is he will not constantly accuse us. He will not constantly accuse us. The whole town had gathered in courthouse for the trial. The prosecuting attorney called his first witness, an elderly woman, to the stand. He approached her and asked, "Mrs. Jones, do you know me?" She responded, "Why, yes, I do know you, Mr. Williams. I've known you since you were a young boy, and frankly, you've been a big disappointment to me. You lie, you cheat on your wife, you manipulate people and talk about them behind their backs, and you think you're a rising big shot, but you haven't the brains to realize you will never amount to anything more than a two-bit paper pusher. Yes, I know you." The lawyer was stunned. Not knowing what else to do, he pointed across the room and said, "Mrs. Jones, do you know the defense attorney?" She replied, "Oh, yes, why, of course I do. I've known Mr. Bradley since he was a youngster, too. I used to babysit him, actually. And he, too, has been a real disappointment to me. He's lazy, he's bigoted, he has a drinking problem. The man can't build a normal relationship with anyone, and his law practice is one of the shoddiest in the entire state. Yes, I know him." Well, at this point, the judge called the courtroom to silence and called both counselors to the bench. In a very quiet voice, he said, with menace, he said, "Listen, if either of you ask her if she knows me, I'll hold you both in contempt of court." So unlike the woman in the story, once forgiven, even though God knows you since you're a little boy or girl, God won't bring up past sins. He lets it go. He doesn't accuse you anymore. Consider 1 John 2:1 says, "My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous." So Jesus is in our corner. He's our advocate. He pleads for us. Consider Hebrews 7:25. Therefore he, speaking of Jesus, is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. So he's our advocate. He intercedes for us. He pleads our case. In other words, once you commit your life to God, Jesus is in your corner. He has forgiven you. He won't be constantly accusing you and bringing up past sins. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Next phrase, he does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. Now, because we sinned against God, I'll tell you what we deserve. We deserve to be abandoned by God. When we sinned against God, we deserve for God to say, peace out, I'm walking away, I'm done with you guys. That's what we deserved. We also deserve to be punished for our sins. Jesus took the place for us on the cross. It should have been us on the cross. He died a torturous death. I'll tell you what else we deserved. We all deserve to go straight to hell in eternal flames. That's what we deserve. That's where we all should be going. But that's not where God is. For those who have chosen to follow him, that's not the end result for those who choose to follow him. He forgives us, and he doesn't treat us as we deserve through the grace of God, through his son Jesus Christ. We don't have to experience any of those things. Praise God. Verse 11 says again, for his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. And in other words, his love for us is limitless. But also note that there's an asterisk here. There's an asterisk. His love is given to an exclusive people. And who are those people? It's those who fear him, those who decide to follow him. And so it's exclusive in that sense. But it's inclusive in the sense that God's arms are open to anybody to come to him. So it's exclusive in the sense that he gives it to his people who fear him, but inclusive in that it's open to everyone. And so if you're here today and you have not made a clear decision to follow God, I would encourage you to make that clear today. The next phrase, he has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. Another verse in the Bible which talks about this separating our sin with a great distance is Micah. Micah 7:19 says, once again, you will have compassion on us. You will trample our sins under your feet and throw them into the depths of the ocean. And so what does it mean for the Lord to remove our sins from the east to the as far as from the east as from the west or into the depths of the ocean? Well, I think it basically just means that your sins are forgiven. They are forgotten about. They are thrown away. They are dealt with. They are forgiven. Another phrase I want to talk about is like a father to his children. He's tender and compassionate. I think I told you the story before, so I'll make it brief. I told you the story before of when I was a child. I was playing around with our bicycles outside on the road, and I was throwing my bike. It was just a game we were playing, and you try to throw your bike to see how far you can go with nobody on it. It's called ghost riding. And I made sure I was so far away from my parents' car, so far away that there was no chance that I would have hit it. So I take this bike and I chuck it as hard as I can, and I'm beating everyone's records, and I'm so happy, and the bike is going a little too far, and eventually it smooshed into the side of the car, and there's a big giant dent in my parents' car. My mom was ticked at me. My dad was at work. I felt sick to my stomach waiting for my dad to get home because my mom didn't want to deal with me. My dad comes home. He calls out to me. I come up to him. I feel sick to my stomach. I just want to run away, but I can't. And my dad, all he does is he knows I'm experiencing this internal pain. And all he does is he sticks out his hand. He says, Ryan, don't worry about it. It's just a car. And I experienced some beautiful forgiveness from my dad. There was no lecture. There was no consequences. I wasn't grounded. I didn't have to fix anything. And I think knowing that I felt horrible was good enough for him. And of course, my parents, of course, they disciplined me. They had moments of discipline, but all he did was just shake my hand and said, don't worry about it. And to top it off, actually, for the remaining time that we did have the car, he never fixed it. So for the next 5 years, I saw this giant dent on my parents' car, and it reminded me that my dad had forgiven me. What are the dents in your life? When you look back at the dents and the sins and the mistakes of your life, does it remind you that God has forgiven you, or do you, I don't know, do you focus on those things and let it beat you down? I hope it reminds you that you have been forgiven. And, you know, just as our earthly father has a soft spot for their children, so our heavenly father has a soft spot for you. And he has a soft spot for me today as well. He's like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. And then we move on to a different concept. The psalmist here is now reminding us as to how brief our life is. Verses 14 through 16 says, "For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass, like wild flowers we bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone as though we had never been here." And last week I mentioned that quite often the Psalms remind us how brief our life is, and it's important that they do that. You know, it's kind of like if you take a step back and consider eternity, it's kind of like if you were to consider eternity like the largest ocean in the world, our life is like putting a drop of water into the largest ocean in the world. It virtually has absolutely no impact. I mean, of course, we can make an impact in our life here for eternity, but I'm talking about just when you just do the math. Eternity compared to our lives here, it's nothing. I mean, some may live only 10 years here on this planet in this life, and others may be lucky to live 70, 80, 90, maybe more. I don't know. But the truth of the matter is, the time that we spend here is nothing compared to eternity. I think on the other side of eternity, we're going to be looking back at this life, and we're going to consider it to be like a blink of an eye, just here today, gone tomorrow. I mean, it's important for us to remember that. Verse 17 says, "But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children." And so we see a contrast here. What is temporary, our lives are temporary, and then we see what is eternal. Well, God's love is eternal, and which is an amazing thing. His love is everlasting. And then we see here as well that God offers his salvation. He saves us. But there's an asterisk again here. His salvation is offered to everybody, but it's given to those who, next verse, who are faithful to his covenant. To those who obey his commandments. He gives his salvation to those who commit to following him. He saves us. You know, I read of those early pioneers who discovered the American West, and they would often climb mountain ranges and experience, you know, have to fight dangerous animals or experience really poor weather, and sometimes the local native population wasn't the most welcoming. But the thing that they dreaded, apparently, was walking through the plains. And the reason why is because the plains, the prairies, would be so dry that if lightning struck, it would cause a really huge fire that would just tear through the land and just devour people. They wouldn't be able to outrun this fire. And so tragically, many people had died because of those lightning strikes in really large, open, dry fields. So eventually they developed a way to save themselves. And so what they would do is, let's say this stage is a field of dry, flat land, grass, whatever it was, and a fire. They could see a fire in the distance, and they could see it coming. The wind was pushing it. What they would do is they would go downwind of their wagons, and they would light this grass on fire. And so what would happen is this grass would all light on fire, and the wind would push it that way, so that by the time this fire came, they could step back onto this dry, burnt ground, and they would be safe. And so in a similar way, Jesus kind of fought fire with fire as well. He saw that we were lost in our sin. Sin was coming. It was coming to engulf us. And like I said to you before, we deserve to be abandoned by God. We deserve to be thrown into hell. And that's kind of what that raging fire represented. But God sent his son to give us an escape route. He sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, so that we could, for those of us who believe in him, can escape this raging fire called sin in our life. And you, if you have not made the decision to take the escape route, you can make that decision today. Verse 19 says, "The Lord has made the heavens his throne. From there he rules over everything. You know, I'm so encouraged to know that that the Lord rules over everything, and I'm sure you are too. It's good to know he's in charge, no matter what. But then this chapter closes with a beautiful encouragement to praise the Lord in the final three verses. It says, "Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans, listening for each of his commands. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels, you serve him and do his will. Who serve him and do his will. Praise the Lord, everything he has created, everything in all his kingdom, let all that I am praise the Lord." And so everyone praise God with all that we are. Again, I just want to, for those in the service today, again, who I mentioned this a couple times, maybe you haven't made a clear decision to follow God, and you want to make that decision clear today, you need to come forward for prayer, and the prayer team will set themselves up shortly, and they'll be happy to pray with you and help you make that decision. Perhaps you are someone who got difficult news this week, and hey, you need to bring that to the Lord as well. And so you're welcome to come forward for prayer too. And of course, like usual, if you have any prayer need that you come to the Lord, come to the service with today, the Lord wants to hear that, and our prayer team will be glad to pray with you. Let me just pray, and we'll invite the worship team to close it off for us. Lord, thank you again for your word. Thank you, God, for this two-week series that we've gone through, just a couple psalms, and we've reflected on your goodness and your greatness. Lord, may our hearts leave today with a heart full of thankfulness for all you've done for us, and not just today, but we pray that this heart of thankfulness will last well for eternity. And we just pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Please stand for our final psalm.